This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wal 'aqibatu lil muttaqin wa la 'udwana illa 'alal zalimin. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah, ilahul awwalin wal akhirin. واشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page 162, which is the first page of the ninth juz of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf. In the previous episode we were mentioning and we had begun the story of the Prophet of Allah Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam. And as we've done now for a number of the previous episodes, we have mentioned those stories that Allah Azza wa Jal relates to us in this surah concerning some of the prophets that were sent to nations, and how those nations, many of those people within those nations, denied and rejected the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we had the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and the stories of Hud and Salih and Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. And now we have the story of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam. And the people of Shu'aib, or the area, the tribe of Shu'aib, is known as the tribe of Madian. And they were known alongside the shirk of Allah Azza wa Jal for people who were unfair when it came to giving full due and measure, when it came to weighing their goods. So in their business dealings, they were known for their cheating and for their dishonesty and lack of integrity. And the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, as we mentioned in the previous episode, he comes to them and he gives to them a number of principles that they should abide by. And he reminds them of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he extols within them the virtues that they should have. And so Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, as some of the scholars of tafsir mention, is known as Khatib al-Anbiya, the preacher amongst the prophets, because of the eloquence that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to him. And we gave an example of that in the previous episode and the long discourse that he has with his people. In today's episode, we begin from verse number 88. And this is now the first page of the ninth juz of the Quran, but it is a continuation of the story of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. And here now Allah Azza wa Jalla relays to us the response of the people, and specifically, as Allah Azza wa Jalla has done consistently throughout these stories, the mala, the response of the nobility and the leadership towards Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. And they say, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in verse number 88, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه لنخرجنك يا شعيب والذين آمنوا معك من قريتنا أو لتعودن في ملتنا قال أولو كنا كارهين. His people's arrogant leaders said, O Shu'aib, we will expel you and your fellow believers from our town unless you return to our religion. He said, what? Even if we detest it. And so this is now the response of the people of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam towards him. And so the mala, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions again, and as we mentioned over the previous episodes, that it is often the leadership, not all of them, because from amongst the nobility and the wealthy and the leaders are those who believed in their prophets and their messengers, even in the time of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But for the most part, the majority of them, they denied and they rejected. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. His people's arrogant leaders said to him. So there's always that level of arrogance within them. And combined with the leadership and the wealth and the power and influence that they have, they then influence the masses and the followers of their, or the followers that they have. The people often follow their leaders. And people are often influenced by the wealthy and by the famous amongst them. Even till today, much of what you see within our cultures and within our societies comes from the influence of media. And media is people of influence, people of power, people of fame and celebrity. Those are the people who do things, and those trends then, they dissipate throughout the masses because people see them as role models and people that they should try to emulate. So likewise, you have that within leadership. People who are in positions of power, when they determine a course or they say that this is the best course, people tend to have faith and trust within the leaders that they have. However, not all the time are the leaders correct. Not in every situation are those people doing what is good or pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have seen a number of examples of this now in these stories that are mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf. So they said to Shu'ib alayhi salam, لَنُخْرِجَنَّكَ يَا شُعِيبُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَكَ مِنْ قَرْيَتِنَا. Shu'ib, we will expel you and your fellow believers from our town. And this was a common response to the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, exile. We saw that already, as we mentioned in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that we spoke about in Surah Al-An'am, how his father said, leave me, leave my land, leave this town, don't ever come near me again. And that is a type of exile. And it was done with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the ideas that the Quraysh had was that they would exile him. So before the migration, when they were disputing as to what is the best course of action towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst the opinions that were given was exile. Yes, they eventually settled upon murder, but exile was something that they were considering as a viable option. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know, he had a self-imposed exile, if you like, by migrating from Mecca and he went towards the city of Medina. But this was something common. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not the first. And so they said that we would go and we would exile Shu'aib and those people who believe alongside him. أو لتعودن في ملتنا, unless you return to our religion. So they give him a choice, as they often did with all of the prophets, even our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Stop your preaching, stop your religion. If you don't, we will do X, Y, and Z to you. But if you stop, then it's okay. And that's what they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came to Abu Talib, his uncle, and they said, oh Abu Talib, your nephew has caused us major issues. He's causing families to split up. He's causing our slaves to rebel against us. He's causing our society to be appended, and he's disparaging our gods and our idols that we worship. And so they said to Abu Talib, tell him to stop. If he wants to practice this, let him practice it in the confines of his home, quietly, privately. But don't call people to this. Don't make it a public issue. And they said the same to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as is mentioned in a number of narrations concerning Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that at the beginning of Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because of the persecution of the Quraysh towards him, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu decided to leave Mecca. And as he was leaving and exiting the city of Mecca and going in the desert, he came across a businessman, an influential man, because of his wealth and his trade links. He was someone of influence. And so he saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leaving and he said, where are you going, Abu Bakr? Because Abu Bakr is another fellow businessman. He's a trader. He has his own influence within Arabia. Where are you going, Abu Bakr? He said, my people have not let me worship my Lord in peace. So I am leaving and finding a different land, wherever it is that I will go. So this man said to him, oh Abu Bakr, someone like you should never be made to leave his city. Because of your nobility, because of your character, because of your integrity and honesty, you are a person that people should be happy to come and be within that city. And that's a very important lesson for us. There are people within our communities who, because of their knowledge, because of their piety, because of their righteousness, because of their character, because of the influence, the good influence that they have upon the people, these people you should try to keep within that community. And the community, if it is a strong community, will look after those people and encourage them to remain, because the community benefits as a result of them. Whereas if they leave because they don't feel that it's a good place for them to stay, it's not productive for them, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is doing, then the whole of that community loses out. Oh Abu Bakr, don't leave. I will go and speak to the Quraysh on your behalf. And so he went, this man along with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went to the leaders of Quraysh and he said, he's under my protection. You harm him, you harm me. As the Arabs used to do. So he gives him protection. So the Quraysh said, okay, if you're going to give him your protection, that's fine. But we have a condition. And that is that he only worships his Lord in his house. Let him do what he wants in his home. But don't come out in public and practice this, because that we won't tolerate. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu accepts this. And this is at the very beginning of Islam. And obviously, as we know, things change very quickly afterwards. But the point here being that it was a common thing. Leave your religion or stop preaching it openly. Don't call and invite others to it, or we will exile you from our land, or we will do something far worse. قَالَ أَوَلَوْ كُنَّا كَارِهِينَ. So Shu'aib alayhi salam responds and he says, what? Even if we detest it? Meaning that you would make us forcibly go back to your religion, apostate from what we believe in, and we don't like it, we don't accept it, you're doing it by force, that's how you want to do this issue? And obviously they don't really care, because they just want him to stop teaching his religion, preaching towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he continues rather in verse 89, قد افترينا على الله كذبا إن عدنا في ملتكم بعد إذ نجانا الله منها وما يكون لنا أن نعود فيها إلا أن يشاء الله ربنا وسع ربنا كل شيء علما على الله توكلنا ربنا افتح بيننا وبين قومنا بالحق وأنت خير الفاتحين. If we were to return to your religion after Allah has saved us from it, we would be inventing lies about him. There is no way we could return to it unless by the will of Allah our Lord. In his knowledge he comprehends everything. We put our trust in Allah, our Lord exposes the truth and judges between us and our people, for you are the best judge. So Shu'aib alayhi salam continues and he says, are you going to force us, compel us to leave our religion? Because if we were to do so in that way, then all we would be doing, after Allah Azza wa Jal favored us and he saved us and he blessed us with Islam, all we would be doing is inventing lies about Allah just as the way you are. You claim that Allah has partners, you claim that Allah Azza wa Jal, there are other gods that are worthy of worship besides him. We were saved by Allah from that. Now if we were to return and leave our religion, then we're just going back to inventing the same lies as you are. But it is worse because we have now seen the truth and Allah has guided us to it, and now we're going to leave it as because you have done so. وَمَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَعُودَ فِيهَا. And there is no way that we could return to that. And how can someone return to shirk after they have seen Iman? How can someone, after tasting the beauty and the sweetness of Tawheed and the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, then return to shirk and kufr and disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not possible. We will never return to it. إِلَّا إِن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّنَا. Unless it is something that Allah has already decreed upon us. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla is all-knowing, and Allah Azza wa Jal has knowledge of everyone, and Allah knows the purity of someone's heart and its nobility or lack thereof, and Allah knows what every heart contains in reality. And that is why there are people who leave Islam, there are people who apostate from this religion, there are people who will discount this religion and the way that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them. And that's because Allah knows what is in their heart, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows their lack of sincerity, and so Allah Azza wa Jal responds to people in accordance to the way that they are. وَسِعَ رَبُّنَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And our Lord, he comprehends everything. His knowledge has encompassed everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. We put our trust in our Lord. And look at the manifestation here of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and Iman in him. And the abilities of Allah Azza wa Jal that is being mentioned here by the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam. These people are coming with their violence, with their oppression, with their persecution. Look at this response of this amazing messenger of Allah, this prophet of Allah, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam. And that is that he's saying to them that you can't do anything to make us leave our religion. Doesn't matter, nothing is more important to us than our faith. But if Allah decrees, because Allah's knowledge encompasses everything, he will do what he decrees, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he has ability and power over all things. But we trust upon our Lord. You're going to harm us, you're going to exile us, you're going to try to murder us and kill us. We trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. We have reliance upon our Lord and we have faith in his decree subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. Oh, our Lord, expose the truth and judge between us and our people, for you are the best of those who judge. And so he makes dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. Oh Allah, expose the truth, make it manifest and clear, and judge between us and these people who disbelieve in you, for you are the ones who are the best of, you are the one who is the best of judges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the following verse that they respond in verse number 90, the people of Shu'aib and the leaders amongst them, they respond and they say, وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ لَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتُمْ شُعِيبًا إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا لَخَاسِرُونَ. The disbelieving leaders amongst his people said, you will certainly be losers if you follow Shu'aib. So now they try to change tack, as they often do. They go to the Prophet and the Messenger, they try to persuade him, dissuade him from what he's doing, try to manipulate him, force him, try to do all sorts of things. And once that doesn't work, then they go to the masses and they say, don't listen to him. Because if you follow him, you will be losers like him. We've sat with him, we've listened to him. What he's saying doesn't make any sense. He's crazy, he's mad, he's a poet, whatever it may be, he's a liar. And if you follow him, then you will be like him. That's exactly what they did with the Prophet ﷺ. They came to him, they tried to They tried to negotiate with him. They tried to reach an understanding with him. And when they saw that the Prophet ﷺ was steadfast and he was strong and courageous, and that it wouldn't be easy just to manipulate him, because he's not going to be manipulated with wealth or with position or with power or with fame or with everything else that they had at their disposal of the dunya. So now what is left? How do you find a man who has such strong principles? So now let's go to the masses. Let's speak to them. He is crazy. He doesn't understand. He's mad. He's a liar. He's a poet. He's a rambler. Whatever it may be, don't listen to him. We've tested him. And for many people, that is enough. For many people, they're not going to go a step further and listen and try to understand and see and discern from whether it is true or not. And this is the old version of the propaganda, the mass media machine at play. Today, that's what we have in social media, in the media that we have through our TVs and newspapers and internet. That's what you have. You have a media that tells you a certain line, and most people will tend to believe it and accept it. But there are people who want to question this. There are people who want to go and want to get to the bottom of this issue. Is it correct? Not correct. In the olden times, this is the mass media machine. The leaders come out, their people come out, and they spread whatever it is that they want to spread. And so they say to the people, don't follow Shu'aib, because if you do, you will be a loser like he is a loser. You will fall into the same path that he has fallen into. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds and he says what took place with them once they rejected and denied Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam in verse number 91. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجَفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. An earthquake, a severe earthquake seized them, meaning a shaking of the earth. By the next morning, they were lying dead in their homes. So the punishment of Allah azza wa jal came upon them. They turned away from Allah. They turned away from the Prophet of Allah that was sent to them. They turned away from the guidance that Allah Azza wa Jal was showing them and displaying to them and urging them to accept and take heed of. And because of that, Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them. And so they are from the nations that were destroyed, the people of Madian, just as the ones who came before them were also destroyed. And Allah Azza wa Jal then says in conclusion to the story in verse number 92, أَلَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعِيبًا كَأَن لَّمْ يَغْنَوْا فِيهَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعِيبًا كَانُوا هُمُ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It was as if those who had rejected Shu'aib had never lived there. It was those who had rejected Shu'aib that were losers. Allah Azza wa Jal says that the destruction of the people of Shu'aib was so complete, so total, that it's as if they never resided there, as if they never lived in Madian, as if they never did any business transactions, as if they never had their families and their neighbors and they went about their daily business as they did, for only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows how long. It's as if they had no trees there that they ate from, or fruit that they ate from, or meat that they devoured, or the different things that they used to use for enjoyment that they benefited from and enjoyed. It's as if none of that existed, meaning that the mention of these people, other than the believers that were with Shu'aib alayhi salam, is as if there was nothing about them. And look at how Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in these stories now that we've mentioned, whether it's the people of Nuh, or Hud, or Salih, or Shu'aib, or Lut, alayhi salatu wassalam, all of these people, how when they're destroyed, their destruction is total and complete. They are wiped off the face of the earth. And now the stories that we have of them is of their rejection, of their denial, of their punishment and their destruction. No one knows their name. No one knows their stories in detail, their history in terms of their, you know, the other than the broad history that we have now in the Quran, it is not mentioned. And that is the case that you will find throughout the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not honor these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak about them in a positive way. In fact, even the blessings that they have is often mentioned in the context of their stories to be a trial and a test and a means of misery and punishment upon them. And so these people who were trying to show that they had all of the dunya, they are no longer mentioned anywhere within our history. No one knows their names, or no one knows who they were. No one remembers them. Who do you remember from the Quran? The believers. You remember the names of Nuh and Lut and Hud and Salih and Shu'aib and Musa and Ibrahim and the other Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. It is their names that Allah Azza wa Jal has caused to be immemorial all the way until Yawm al-Qiyamah. However, these are the people, we don't know them. And the ones that we know them, we know by their title, like Pharaoh. But we don't know his name. Pharaoh was the title of every leader of the Egyptian Empire. It's not a name of an individual. We don't know their names. And the one that is mentioned by name in that way, like for example, Qarun and Haman and Abu Lahab, these ones are mentioned by name. Again, it is few and far between. And it is also done in the worst types of context that are mentioned in the Quran. But for the vast majority of them, they're not known. meaning their names are mentioned, or they're not recorded. And even the ones that are recorded from the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there is always in the worst context and in the worst possible way, and that is from the humiliation that Allah Azza wa Jal causes upon them. Whereas for the believers and the prophets and the messengers, Allah praises them, and their name is mentioned high, and their remembrance is often mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And to read their names and to mention their names, it is rewarding in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal because of the reward that you have in reciting the Quran. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says that these people is as if they never existed. الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعِيبًا كَانُهُمُ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It was those who rejected Shu'aib who were the true losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues, concluding this particular story in verse 93.
فَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَقَدْ أَبَلَغْتُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ فَكَيْفَ آسَى عَلَى قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ.
So he turned away from them, saying, "My people, I delivered my Lord's messages to you and gave you sincere advice. So why should I grieve for people who refuse to believe?" So Shu'aib alayhi salam and his people rejected him. And again, as Allah Azza wa Jal does in the previous stories, the response of Shu'aib alayhi salam is mentioned after the destruction takes place. But as they're being destroyed, he turns away from them and he sees that there is no hope for these people. And he says to them, meaning out of remorse for them, out of regret for those people, that Allah had given to them a prophet. Allah had shown them the way of guidance. Allah had given to them the reminders and warnings. So he turns away and he says that I gave to you your Lord's messages. I gave to you that reminder and warning. And I was sincere to you. And I was telling you the truth. And now you can see that truth playing upon you. You can see the promise of Allah being delivered upon you. فَكَيْفَ آسَى عَلَى قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ. So why should I then grieve upon those who refuse to believe? And so those people that Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that they would be from the disbelievers, those nations that will be punished and destroyed, there is no point in grieving upon them. They had their chance, they had their opportunity, they were given all of the means by Allah Azza wa Jal in order to accept guidance, but they refused to do so. And as a result, Allah Azza wa Jal punished them, some of them in this dunya, and others of them will be punished in the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 94,
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ.
Whenever we sent a prophet to a town, we afflicted its disbelieving people with suffering and hardship so that they might humble themselves and turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his universal law. Number one, that every town, every nation was sent a prophet. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions elsewhere in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. We sent to every nation a prophet. Every person was given guidance. Every person was sent a prophet that they should use in order to accept Islam and to believe.
إِلَّا أَخَذْنَهَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ.
And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, but alongside that we caused and afflicted the people of that town to be overcome with hardship, that they would see different types of difficulties, because those difficulties are a reminder. Every time Allah Azza wa Jal tests you, that is a reminder for you. So you fall ill, it is a reminder of how weak you are and how fragile your life is and how quickly you could die and leave this world and go to the everlasting realm of the hereafter. Allah Azza wa Jal tests you with poverty. Allah tests you with the death of the loved ones close to you. Allah tests you with famine and with hunger. Allah tests you in so many different ways with your family, with your spouse, with the people around you, with the society that you live in. All of these are tests. For the believer, they recognize them as tests. And as a result, they turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And they renew and strengthen their faith and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their connection of ibadah with Allah Azza wa Jal. But those people who are heedless and negligent, they don't recognize them as tests. They will take them back to some other factor, or they will legitimize them or justify them or rationalize them in a different way. And so those people then don't see those tests from Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah gives those tests, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ, that they may perhaps humble themselves by turning back to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the final verse, we'll take today, verse 95,
ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ حَتَّى عَفَوْا وَقَالُوا قَدْ مَسَّ آبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ.
And then we changed their hardship into prosperity until they multiplied. But when they said, hardship and affluence also befell our forefathers, and so we took them suddenly unaware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he often does, because that is from the way that Allah azza wa jal tests people. Allah says then subhanahu wa ta'ala that then we changed their hardship into prosperity. We gave from them their hardship a place of prosperity. And that place of prosperity is that Allah azza wa jal then makes things easy for them, gives to them wealth, gives to them health, gives to them from the blessings of the dunya. Because those are also from the tests of Allah azza wa jal. That is also from the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people. And so those people, when they were given those tests, and they were given that type of prosperity after those tests, they said, قَدْ مَسَّ آبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ, that this is nothing new. That's not a sign from Allah Azza wa Jal. Our forefathers, our ancestors also had times of test and times of hardship and times of ease and times of felicity. That's something which they too also had. So then they didn't pay any attention and heed. And when they turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal and from His message, that is when Allah Azza wa Jal punishes those people if He chooses to do so, as we've seen in the previous stories that we mentioned within this surah. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah says, so we take them suddenly, meaning we punish them suddenly, and they are unaware, meaning that they don't even expect the punishment of Allah to fall upon them, and it befalls them. And Allah Azza wa Jal decrees that that is the end of those people. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us from such an ending. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and allow us to be from those people who recognize the tests of Allah Azza wa Jal, both good and bad, and use those tests as a means of coming back to Him and showing humility before Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, we end today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.